is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. This is our second hour. This is a pre-recorded show. We ask you not to call today. We're actually deer hunting. This is the first day of the deer firearm season. I'm in the stand, hopefully within a few minutes, with my grandson, and maybe he'll get be fortunate to take another deer this year. He's been out a couple times. We just haven't had a lot of success, but you know, we look forward to changing our luck this Saturday. So we'll see what happens. But we are here with Brian Eiler, who's the Deer Project Leader for the Maryland Department of Natural Resources, Wildlife and Heritage Service. And when we left last hour, Brian kind of teased us a little bit talking about hunting license increases.
Yeah, I'm by no means, you know, the expert on this or anything, but when you're, you know, we were talking about NRP being stretched pretty thin.
Natural Resources Police, yeah.
You know, and you know, money is tight for everybody.
I sure mean, it is, absolutely.
Obviously, and DNR is no different. You know, we receive very little general funds.
You don't receive any in the 2013 budget?
Yeah, pretty much.
None.
Zero. Yeah.
Let's clarify that. Yeah. No taxpayer money. So bird watchers, hikers, bikers, packers, and kayakers don't contribute anything to the funding of the Department of Natural Resources.
Well,
unless you buy a $12 voluntary kayak license.
Yeah, but
that doesn't even go to wildlife.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a
they don't
misnomer, you know, that we do receive taxpayer money.
None.
And we pretty much operate off of license funds.
Funding.
And the PR money associated with that.
PR money means Pittman Robertson, which is wildlife restoration money. That's the excise tax paid on firearms, ammunition, and archery tackle.
Right. So, you know, so when you see something like a hunting license, you know, fee increase, it's to fund, you know, the management that DNR does and the enforcement that DNR does.
Right.
It doesn't go into the general coffers.
Right.
It's money that has to stay by federal law. It has to stay within DNR.
Exactly.
You know, and you know, in the past they might have pulled general funds if we do a hunting license increase, and then they would pull the general funds. And, you know, in turn, well, like you said, we're not getting any general funds.
No general funds. In other words, if there was an increase coming in, they'd take money on the backside.
Right.
On the back end.
It's hard to take, you know, zero.
Right.
Or take money from
Well,
zero.
Let me ask you this. So. Okay. Yeah, so you've got a variety of projects that you do. Maybe you could just kind of tell us a few of the projects that are ongoing as far as deer management are concerned.
Well, some of the, like, you know, as far as what some of the license fee money is used for is monitoring chronic wasting disease.
CWD.
You know, I mean,
public safety.
Right. We pull over 300 samples every year, get them tested. We're monitoring, you know, how, you know, we have the disease in Allegheny County.
Right.
Or, you know, we've had one positive so far.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, so every year we're monitoring that, you know.
And that's DNR personnel, salaries, paychecks, hours, adding up, standing at the check stations, taking samples of deer that hunters have brought in. You know, maybe you've seen it at your check station. I know Sam's Deer Processing, one of our sponsors, is a very big participant in that. Yeah. There's always a number of personnel there.
Yeah.
Aging deer. Checking deer. I mean, those people got to get paid for their time. They don't volunteer.
Right. You know, I mean, so
deer management,
waterfowl,
DNA survey in 2011 on bear, you know, 150 bait stations. Somebody has to go check those bait stations. They have to collect those hair samples. Those hair samples have to be sent to a laboratory. That laboratory has to test them. They don't do it for free.
Right. You know,
waterfowl.
Waterfowl. Sika deer. You know, we've done genetic work with Sika deer. The last study we did, you know, in Dorchester, we had 60 some radio collared yearling stags, you know, to look at how our Sika deer population's doing.
Right.
You know, all that is funded by hunting license money and the federal money that matches it.
So
he's the dollar.
Well, sure.
You know, as much as we can in this day and age.
Exactly.
And we are bare bones. I mean, there's no question about it.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you're wasting away to nothing. Are you getting enough to eat there, Brian?
Yeah,
I mean, your kids getting fed three meals a day.
Yeah, the kids eat all the food now. So,
okay, I'm just wondering.
Yeah. But no, you know, I mean, nobody likes to pay more, but when you think about what a movie costs, or, you know, I mean, your hunting license for a whole year,
Unbelievable.
Is what? A couple dates with your wife or girlfriend at
most. Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're getting a lot of bang for the buck. You really
That's true.
So, and yeah, you know, hunters are paying the way.
Yes, they are.
There's no question hunters are paying the way, but that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Not necessarily a bad thing because, you know, I mentioned those hikers, bikers, backpackers, kayakers, and bird watchers not paying anything for the privilege of going into the great outdoors and observing the non-game wildlife that we talk about. And, you know, if they like to look at deer, that's fine. But those folks have to understand where the money comes from.
Right.
Because they're not
right.
putting anything in.
Yeah. They're putting it in indirectly, but definitely not as much. Taxes aren't going to pay anything, right.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a park fee or something like that along the way.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's pretty it's pretty much funded by the hunters and the license dollars and the wildlife restoration funds from the sale of firearms, ammunition, and archery.
And, you know, and DNR and wildlife and heritage, you know, I mean, the heritage part of that is you know, non-game. So, you know, not only are we managing, you know, we just mentioned all the projects and everything from the game side of things.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But we also do all the other.
All
you know,
the terrapins and
right,
the fur bears and the reptiles and amphibians and birds
right.
and owls
right, the
and
non-game,
predators. And
non-game species as well, yeah.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yep, you do that. Exactly right. Yeah. You know, people just follow the money, and there ain't any. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've debated on this show, and we've talked about it on this show before, and we've caught hell on this show before for talking about hunting license increases and things like that. And people are very non-fee-oriented right now. They don't want to see taxes or anything go up, and I understand that.
I do, too.
I understand it. But, you know, Cheerios used to be $2.49. Now they're $3.99.
Right.
You know, so fees are going up, and you know, a half gallon of ice cream is now, what is it?
I don't buy ice cream. I don't.
It's like a quart and a half.
Yeah.
You know, you know, the containers are getting smaller. Prices going up.
Right.
You're getting less for more. So. We don't want that to happen with our wildlife management. That's for sure.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, like I said, if there is a good thing, the good thing out of this is that money has to stay with DNR.
Oh, it's definitely,
you know,
definitely.
I mean,
yeah, it doesn't.
You know, it doesn't go other places. I mean, it comes into DNR and
it stays there. It's used there
for enforcement and for you know management. So
yep. it's no question.
Yeah,
no question. Well, and the alternative is cut programs and cut personnel. We're already cut to the bone as far as personnel are concerned. You're doing double duty. Harry's doing double duty. You know, everybody's managing different species that they, you know, you know, we have no fur bear biologist at this point specified for the trappers and that type of thing. And when you don't have that type of thing, especially something like trapping, that comes under attack all the time from people who are against hunting and trapping and, you know, the outdoors and firearms and whatever else they're against for God knows whatever reason. You know, and you don't have somebody who's running the program, it's a little difficult to get somebody to testify.
Yeah, we're all definitely doing more with less.
More with less, yeah. I understand. Yeah. Unfortunately, that's our economy the way it is right now.
Yeah.
What do we want to talk about next, Brian? You want to talk about Hunter Orange? We didn't mention that in safety.
Yeah,
in
that's
safety
a big part of
Let's
safety.
Talk about that.
Yeah, you know,
for a couple minutes.
Just like your tree stand harness, you know, wear that orange as well. You know, you're not going to scare deer away.
Nope.
By wearing it.
Nope.
And you're definitely going to be a lot more visible.
Exactly.
So, and you know, and again, going back to the private land. You know, if you're a landowner on private land, you know, you don't have to wear fluorescent orange. But
you should.
You should, you know, because you don't know. You can't be 100% sure who else might be out there.
Tell our listeners, if you would, how deer see, what they see. They don't necessarily see in black and white, but they see.
Dollar,
more
bluish.
More like a sepia-toned photo that you take in the, you know, you go to the boardwalk or something, you get your picture taken with your Western gear on and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of not like you said, not purely black, like grayscale, I guess.
Almost a grayscale sepia.
You actually, I saw a picture. It's in
it's in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly.
Maryland Hunting Quarterly,
Yeah,
so it's, you know, so they don't see that bright orange.
Right.
You know, birds, do. Birds have a full color spectrum.
That's why you don't wear it when you're waterfowling.
Yeah, so birds can see that full spectrum, but yeah, deer can't. So, you know, even if you wear camouflage fluorescent orange, if you want to or whatever. But yeah, bathers, fluorescent orange laws, I mean, they're there for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, if you get up in your tree stand, you know, a lot of guys will take them off when they're up in the tree stand.
That's the wrong time to
take
them off.
Yeah, it's the wrong time to take them off, to be honest with you. And like I said, the chances of a deer picking, you know, scent, the deer's nose is its number one defense.
Right, right.
And it's going to, you know, it's going to scent you long before.
And even if you've got all the cover scent on and you don't wear a face mask, for example, your face moving around back and forth, they're going to catch that movement.
Yeah.
You know, they're you're in their environment.
Right.
They know that tree stand's there.
Right.
And they also know that there's a big lump on top of it that wasn't there last time.
Right.
You know, and it doesn't matter if it's wearing orange or not. If there's something up there moving around, they're going to be suspicious.
Yeah, I mean, my best advice to hunters, you know, is play the wind. And watch your scent, number one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's, you know, because their nose is incredible. So,
yes, it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Sight, hearing, and smell. And not necessarily in that order.
Right.
Smell, hearing, and sight. Or smell, sight, and hear. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they can catch you. They're more attuned to their environment than we are. And it's amazing we get as many of them as we do.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Well, do you know the best new ATVs and side-by-sides of 2013 have arrived? They're at Pete's Cycle right now, just in time for the Polaris holiday sales event. You can get financing as low as 2.99% on all Polaris ATVs and side-by-sides, including the new 2013s. Plus, rebates up to $1,000 on select 2012 models. You heard right. Financing as low as 2.99% and rebates up to $1,000 on legendary sportsmen, the powerful Rangers, razor-sharp razors, and the industry's most complete collection of youth models. Hurry to Pete's Cycle Company in the town of Bel Air, Baltimore, and Severna Park before December 31st for low financing and huge rebates during the Polaris Holiday Sales Event. And don't miss the Polaris Holiday Sales Event Saturday, December 1st, for even bigger savings. That's on PeteCycle.com. Offers end December 31st. Rebates vary by model, financing, and rates based on creditworthiness. See Pete Cycle for details. ATVs can be hazardous to operate. Polaris adult models are for riders age 16 and older. Always wear a helmet. Be sure to take a training course. Polaris Rangers are not intended for on-road use. Hey, it's waterfowl season coming up here pretty soon, and, you know, it's still time to get your new Sean Mann Eastern Shoreman Goose Call from SeanMann.com, or you can call the office toll-free, 1-800-345-4539. You might be able to check in with Sean and see if he has room for you to take you on a hunt. But primarily visit that website, www.SeanMann.com. You can see all the varieties of all these calls that Sean Mann makes for not only for geese and the Eastern Shoreman, but and, you know, all the varieties of that. But he also makes a great line of duck calls and wing nuts calls and snow goose calls. So it's all right there on the website, SeanMann.com, 800-345-4539, Sean Mann. A world champion waterfowler from right here in Maryland's Eastern Shore. And Sean is a good guy, and he'll take care of you on that. SeanMann.com. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner. Big Buck Scents Cold Scent has a fast-growing reputation for attracting big Maryland bucks. Several friends of mine have used Cold Scent with great results. Big Bucks, Maryland's Eastern Shore's home to Big Buck Scents. Big Buck Cold Scent is different than those mass-produced bottles you see on every shelf. First, it's one deer to one bottle. That's a 4-ounce bottle, too. Plenty for the rut. Now, the deer urine is collected and immediately refrigerated. It's kept cold, and the vital elements will not break down and become less attractive. Trust me, there's a science behind all this. Big Buck Scent arrives at your local dealer cold in its own refrigerator. You keep it cold till you use it, and you will see the results. Try Cold Scent, Vanilla Bean, Doe in Heat, Dominant Buck, or Doe Pea in the 4-ounce bottle. For more information, visit the website BigBuckScents.com or visit your local dealer. Ask for and use Cold Scent by Big Buck Scent. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
The Poole family continues the family tradition established by Sam Poole at Sam's Deer Processing in Finksburg. The full-service deer processing shop is located on Bollinger Mill Road off Route 32. Sam's Deer Processing has cut well over 40,000 deer. They know how to quickly skin, cool, and hang your deer as soon as possible for the best-tasting venison. They let your deer age to perfection, then cut it to your specifications. If you want deer jerky, deer sausage, deer hot dogs, deer snack sticks, smoked deer hams, and much more, take your deer to Sam's Deer Processing in Finksburg between Westminster and Eldersburg. Sam's Deer Processing also holds the secret recipe for Maryland's most popular deer bologna. Now, if you happen to bag that trophy buck, you're worried about where you can have the hide and cape safe for the taxidermist, Sam's can handle it. Sam's Deer Processing in Carroll County is the whole package, custom-cut venison with all the specialty venison products to last throughout the year. Take your deer to Sam's Deer Processing or call 410-795-4670. That's 410-795-4670 for Sam's Deer Processing in Finksburg. The National Rifle Association's Great American Hunting and Outdoor Show is coming to Frederick, Maryland, January 25th through 27th at the Frederick Fairgrounds. See over 200 hunting and fishing exhibitors, the NRA Great American Whitetail Collection, nationally known seminar speakers, the Mason-Dixon Big Buck Contest, and more. General admission, $10. NRA members, $8. Kids under 9 admitted free. Weekend passes are available. It's the 2013 NRA Great American Hunting and Outdoor Show, January 25th through 27th at the Frederick Fairgrounds. Visit NRAHuntingShow.org for more information. Hey, we're back with Brian Eiler here on the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We're talking about license increase fees and Hunter Orange and that type of thing. But what's primarily interested me in Maryland have been some of the deer diseases, and we talk about them here. Two of the most common, now the most common is epizootic hemorrhagic disease, or EHD or HD, known by a variety of names, and the other one is chronic wasting disease. Chronic wasting disease was found in Allegheny County here about, what, 4 years ago now?
No, it was just February of 11. So
February of 11?
Yeah, so a year,
oh, yeah, it was.
Year and a half,
yeah.
Ago. Yeah,
yeah.
So.
And that was, we think that that deer was flown over from West Virginia.
Yeah,
it was just across the river.
Yeah,
anyway.
Well, you know, it was a yearling buck, so it's not out of the you know, realm of possibility that it was a dispersal from West Virginia.
From West Virginia, yeah, county.
The outbreak in West Virginia is right across the border there.
Yeah.
So you know, it's very possible that could have been a direct.
But that set off all kinds of alarm bells.
Yeah, well, we've been monitoring. I mean, we knew it was just a matter of time.
Sure.
Till we, you know, it made it into Maryland.
Yeah, and
there.
If you've ever been at a check station and somebody asks if you want to get your deer tested for chronic wasting disease, that's been the only one we've found in thousands of deer that have been tested.
Yeah, I mean, we'll find more.
Sure.
You know, no doubt eventually. We'll find more in Allegheny with the outbreak in West Virginia.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time. But yeah, we did sample. So that was February of 11 that we were notified. We sampled this past year, and we didn't find any this past year, but we're sampling this year as well. So
we'll keep
monitoring.
Tell people a little bit about chronic wasting disease and what you're doing as far as the safeguards to protect the deer herd and and humans.
First and first and foremost is there's still no evidence that humans can contract CWD, chronic wasting disease, from eating venison.
Right.
It's in the same family of diseases as mad cow disease,
mm-hmm.
which humans can contract. So that's, you know, that's why there's always been a little bit more focus on CWD.
Right.
But again, it looks like, you know, chronic wasting disease is probably more like scrapie in sheep. It's not a human threat.
Right.
It's probably not a deer population threat in the East. Our deer are so productive, and we have such good habitat that
right.
that it's really questionable whether the disease will have any population impacts as well. So, but
it has had some impacts in mule deer and elk.
In mule deer, yeah, in western in the western states
right.
where productivity is very different, habitat's very different.
And well, not only that, but the accessibility is so remote. You don't, you mean you could have an outbreak
yeah.
and not even know it,
right?
You know,
right.
and it could decimate the herd. And,
right. They have seen some population impacts in some areas, limited
right.
areas, but it's been in the West since the 60s as well. So, you know, it's been out there for a long time.
Sure.
But yeah, so, you know, we're monitoring. We will continue to monitor. And there's a lot of research being done, still being done with CWD. And the more we know, you know.
Now, this is something that can spread, however, from deer to deer.
Yeah, oh, yes. Yeah, from saliva, feces, urine, waste.
Yeah.
You know, nose-to-nose contact.
Right, and you see that a lot.
Yeah, you know, you can, in Allegheny County in our CWD management area, you know, we prohibit baiting now. The reason we do that is, you know, if you have a corn pile out there, you're increasing the odds of having deer-to-deer contact or, you know, indirect contact. You know, deer eats some corn, leaves some saliva, another deer comes in, eats corn.
Remind me to come back to that. Remind me to come back to that baiting thing.
Yeah. So, you know, and it's also why we try to keep deer density numbers, deer numbers lower.
Right.
You know, the fewer deer you have, the less contact, direct contact there is, the slower the disease will spread. So, you know, Pennsylvania just found
it right across the border in Adams County,
right,
in Gettysburg area.
Right? Northeast of Gettysburg, right?
Yeah.
That was in a captive deer.
Right.
And, you know, I think they had two out of that pen now that have tested positive. We're watching that closely. We're in contact with the PA folks on a regular basis, and we haven't adjusted our monitoring at this point.
I think the press release just came out last week about the fact that they're going to be testing at the shops up there and that type of thing.
Yeah, a lot of what they're doing is very similar to what we have done in Allegheny County. So, but more
Brandon Black is with the commission up there. I actually got goose hunted with Brandon.
Okay.
He's the one that's going to be in charge of collecting the samples.
Okay.
Or involved. I don't know if he's going to be in charge, but involved with
collecting samples
and that type of thing. He's from up in northern, either northern Carroll County or southern Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Up there. So.
Okay. Yeah, so we're watching that pretty close. We'll adjust as we need to.
Even on a deer farm, people got to understand that these animals are in pens, but they're certainly backed up to woods, and the wild deer can interact with pen deer. They can share that saliva
sometimes,
thing under the fence.
You just don't know.
Right.
You know, I mean, some of the states have double fencing requirements to eliminate that contact, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, just because it's a penned or a fenced deer doesn't necessarily mean they
can't get into the wild population.
Right, but it can't get into a wild population.
Yeah.
So,
but the biggest disease that impacts our deer herd here in Maryland is EHD, episodic hemorrhagic disease, which is spread by the bite of a no-see-um.
No-see-um, yep, or midge or
a little midge.
Gnat. Yep. Blue tongue is another strain of it. You might have heard of blue tongue.
And they're interchangeable as far as terminology. But
yeah, you hear
basically
both, but they are technically they're different strains, but yeah, but they're all hemorrhagic disease.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, it's cyclic. Every 4 to 5, 6 years, we'll have a heavier outbreak than the remaining years. This year was our big outbreak was in 07. This year was definitely heavier than normal.
Don't we normally get a wet spring, dry summer
that seems to magnify it.
Because the water holes dry up, it concentrates the deer, the midges are there around the water.
And stagnant water, so it's probably better breeding habitat. And if it's a mild winter, you know, the more of the gnats will survive, you know, the eggs and everything will survive over winter. So, but, yeah, you know, I mean, this year we had 170 reports.
Really?
That were probably, you know, we, of course, can't get our hands and test every one of them.
Hot spots were?
Southern Maryland, Charles County, we had a pretty good outbreak. Caroline County over on the Eastern Shore. Frederick County, we had some pretty good reports. So, you know, Eastern Shore and Southern Maryland seem to be the hardest.
St. Mary's County in 2020. 11 was hit pretty hard.
Yeah, it moves around, you know, yeah. It varies, and it can be real spotty.
I know back late 80s, early 90s, Chester River got pounded. I mean, that upper shore got just pounded.
And for a year or two, if it came through an area that you're hunting, you might see decreased deer numbers. I mean, it'll take that many. But
now you mentioned off the air something about a resistant gene. Some of the deer actually are able to resist.
Yeah, deer. We'll check them when we're doing our aging and everything. You know, we'll look for sloughing hooves.
Yeah,
it'll cause their hooves to slough.
Yeah,
that's a deer that survived it. So it's a classic disease scenario. You have a certain percentage of the population that's resistant to it.
Right.
So they'll survive.
Right.
Well, as that non-resistant portion of the population builds up over time, it gets to a threshold, then the disease will come through, knock those out, and then it'll be quiet for a few years because what's left is resistant.
It's resistant, and they're breeding and passing on the genetics.
So there is a portion of the population that is resistant to it to a certain degree, but it can hit hard. You know, I mean,
in a
local area, it can really hit hard.
No doubt. So.
The other big one we have is brain abscesses.
I've heard of brain abscesses.
Yeah, really common in bucks. But if you know, a lot of times you'll have a buck. If it's not dead, it might just be standing there, no fear of humans. A lot of times you'll see the abscess around the antler. It'll stink to high heaven.
It's just been hit by another deer, or
it's hard to say. But basically, there's fissures in the skull. You know, it'll allow that organism to get in there, create a brain abscess.
However that happens.
Yeah. Really, Maryland has especially on the Eastern Shore, has an unusually high incidence of brain abscesses. And there's actually we've been working with North Carolina and Chesapeake Farms. Mark Connor,
I know Mark,
has done some work and looking at brain abscesses. And,
again,
you know, it can take a pretty high proportion in a given area of deer.
Is it a contagious disease?
No, it's in, it's just, again, it's one of those where there's no treatment. There's really nothing you can do about it.
Really?
But it can, and unlike hemorrhagic disease, which I think, you know, it pretty much hits does as equally as bucks.
Yeah.
Brain abscesses with, like you said, with the fighting and probably the rubbing and that kind of stuff, it does definitely seem to be skewed towards.
I've heard situations of deer that have just, you know, wandered out in the field, just stood there like they don't even know what's going on. And, you know, that type of thing. I've known guys that have actually taken deer in that situation and then, you know, they get up to it and they go, whoa, that's nasty.
There's no question when you get one. Either that or, you know, I'll have hunters tell me, oh, I shot this deer and went up and grabbed it by the antler to drag it out, and the antler popped off in my hand and stinks really bad. You know, that's classic brain abscess.
Tell us about the impact on humans with that. Anything?
No threat to humans.
No threat at all?
No threat to humans. We don't recommend,
messing with it.
Don't recommend eating. You know, we have enough deer that, you know, it's not too hard to get a healthy one eat. But because you don't know what kind of secondary infection or might be present or whatever. But the brain abscess itself, same with hemorrhagic disease. You know, the in itself, no threat to humans.
And a safeguard. You follow safeguards as far as the brain tissue and the skull plates and the
and
the spinal tissue and all that. And the butchers primarily know what to do with that and take care of that for you.
And we have stuff in our hunting guide, you know, that
on all that.
Well,
it's important to bring up because we're talking about deer and you know, people are concerned about eating venison and the safety of it. And it's 99 and like what was the old Ivory Soap commercial, 99 and 44, 100%, no problem.
Yeah.
So
take care of your meat.
Take care of the meat.
I mean, it's supposed to be, looks like it's going to be in the 40s, I think, or around 50. For opening day.
Yeah.
So it's going to be nice and cool at night, but just pay attention. You know, don't let that deer lay out there and cook, or hang out there and cook.
Exactly. Get those entrails out as fast as possible. Get that deer hanging up to cool. And if you have to transport it, you know, there's always you can always put something in the body cavity to keep it open, let it cool out. Throw a bag of ice in there if you want. You know, it's interesting. I talk to a lot of processors, and there's different things that different guys do, and some of them will skin the deer and just hang it. Others will skin the deer and you know, wash the entire thing down, and then they'll hang it and that type of thing. And I don't know what the guidelines are now, but some are saying don't wash the deer. Others are saying, and the butchers are going, I'm washing everything.
Right.
Because there's so much, you know, you got to take some care when you're field dressing that deer. You know, make sure to get all the entrails out from the gullet down to the you know, entrance to exit, food in, food out, get everything out of there.
Right.
And you know, keep it nice and clean. You talk to the meat processors, and they say guys don't know how to field dress a deer. I think that might be a new video, another video for the website, for the DNR
website.
That's
a good idea. That's a good idea.
Because there's so much out there that that can affect the taste of your venison. I mean, you know, you leave the bladder in the deer. You leave the lower tract of the intestines in the deer. That's where your steaks are.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want that marinade on
and
there.
And it's only a few minutes. More, it's not like it's a lot more work. You
it's
know?
No I mean, more work.
Right, basically.
It's no more work.
Right.
It's just, you know, it's, John, you want me to take a break?
Yeah.
All right, I'll take a break. The best new ATVs and side-by-sides of 2013 have arrived. They're at Pete's Cycle right now, just in time for the Polaris holiday sales event. You get financing as low as 2.9%. 2.99% on all Polaris ATVs and side-by-sides, including the new 2013s. Plus, rebates up to $1,000 on select 2012 models. You heard right. Financing as low as 2.99% and rebates up to $1,000 on legendary Sportsmen, powerful Rangers, razor-sharp razors, and the industry's most complete collection of youth models. Hurry to Pete's Cycle Company in the town of Bel Air, Baltimore, Severna Park, before December 31st for low financing and huge rebates during the Polaris holiday sales event. And don't miss the Polaris holiday sales event Saturday, December 1st at all Pete's locations for even bigger savings. Visit PeteCycle.com. Offer ends December 31st. Rebates vary by model, financing, and rates based on credit worthiness. See Pete's Cycle for details. ATVs can be hazardous to operate. Polaris adult models are for riders ages 16 and older. Always wear a helmet. Be sure to take a training course. Polaris Rangers are not intended for on-road use. Hey, Clyde Sports Shop is your Browning headquarters for the Browning X-Bolt high-powered rifle. It's extremely accurate, bolt action, big game hunting perfection. All standard Magnum and short Magnum calibers are available. It features an adjustable feather trigger, a detachable rotary magazine. The Maxus shotguns for you waterfowlers. Maxus, M-A-X-U-S. Autoloader shotgun for waterfowl hunting. Available in Mossy Oak Duck Blind Camo. 3-inch and 3.5-inch chambers. The new Power Drive gas system reduces recoil. And the BPS Hunter, the best pump shotgun available in 12, 16, 20, 28, and 410. The satin finish walnut stock, bottom ejection with the 12 and 20s, you get 3 Invector Plus choke tubes and 3 standard Invector choke tubes with the 16, 28, and 410. Your full-line Browning dealers, Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. 410-242-6108. That's 242-6108. ClydeSports.com is the website, Clyde Sports Shop.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Joan Jones. The holidays are here. They can be a time for celebration at the office, but they can also be a time for anxiety. That may be especially true for younger workers or new hires unfamiliar with company protocol. But parties and small gifts offer an opportunity to reinforce professional relationships and expand networks. If your workplace has a party, the important thing to keep in mind is that it is a work function and you should dress appropriately and act appropriately. As for gift giving, if your human resources department can offer guidance, ask coworkers what's been done in the past. If it's okay to exchange gifts, select presents that are professional and useful. Coffee shop gift cards, picture frames, even homemade baked goods are appropriate. Avoid anything overly personal. A small token to a client or vendor can help build a professional relationship. You may want to express your appreciation with a handwritten card. Mention something specific from the year gone by and say you're looking forward to working together in the new year. I'm Joan Jones with the Wall Street Journal.
When you run a small business, there's never enough time to do what you need to do, is there? And when it comes to your presence online, I bet you could use a little help. Well, Web.com is here to help by building you a successful website for free. That's what they did for Tiffany.
I tried building a website on my own, and that just did not work out. I was freaked out about everything that I had to do. I found Web.com, and they put it together like that, and it was just amazing.
You can do what over 3 million small businesses have already done. Team with the experts at Web.com. Call today to get a website built for free. Plus, you'll get 30 days to experience our comprehensive hosting, support, maintenance, and marketing on Google, Yahoo, Bing, and hundreds of other locations. Absolutely risk-free. For more information on getting your website built for free, call web.com today at 800-393-8936. That's 800-393-8936. Or visit web.com/radio.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner.
It's the Doe Harvest Challenge. Deer hunters, by legally harvesting a doe and donating the meat, you not only feed hungry people in Maryland and please local farmers by reducing crop damage, now you could win valuable prize packages this season. Doe Harvest Challenge offers $5,500 in prizes with 18 chances to win. This contest is limited to 13 counties. If you hunt in Carroll, Frederick, Anne Arundel, Calvert, Charles, St. Mary's, or Prince George's counties, or in Queen Anne's, Kent, Caroline, Talbot, Dorchester, Wicomico counties on the shore, and you harvest a doe, all you have to do is donate your deer through participating FHFH deer processor. Every 3 weeks, an up to $300 winner will be drawn in each of the three regions, plus a $500 grand prize package to one lucky hunter in each region. Participating deer processors have entry cards to fill out in their shops. You can enter every doe you donate within the Region B bag limits all season long. The 2012 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Farm Bureau, Maryland Grain Producers Utilization Board, the Maryland Soybean Board, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, contact the Maryland Farm Bureau, 410-922-3426. The Buck Bomb is the hottest deer scent technology on the market. The Buck Bomb is pure deer urine manufactured in an aerosol spray. Now, the Buck Bomb, distributed in this molecular form, gives whitetails the opportunity to follow the scent trail to your stand site. The delivery rate and the large broadcast area cannot be duplicated with liquid, solid, or gel scents. Buck Bomb Doe Pea and Vanilla Curiosity work well any time to disguise your odor. Pick up a can of Young Buck or Acorn Rage for the bow season. For early muzzle loader, the dominant buck scent will challenge other bucks to seek you out. And now the heart of the rut through firearm season, try Doe and Estrus or Bone Collector Buck Bomb. Visit your local outdoor retailer, or you can order online at buckbomb.com. Learn more about the Buck Bomb, or you can call 866-850-6653. And fishermen, you can try the new Fish Bomb Menhaden Quick Slick from the makers of Buck Bomb. The Buck Bomb blows away traditional scent products. Hunt smart, increase your odds with the Buck Bomb. If you love the great outdoors, you'll love the National Rifle Association's Great American Hunting and Outdoor Show. It's 3 big days of hunting and fishing excitement, January 25th through the 27th at the Eventplex at the Frederick Fairgrounds in Frederick, Maryland. See over 200 hunting and fishing exhibitors, the NRA Great American Whitetail Collection, nationally known seminar speakers, the Mason-Dixon Big Buck Contest, and more. The first 200 attendees each day receive a free Drury Outdoors DVD. General admission, $10. NRA members, $8. Children under 9 admitted free. Weekend passes are available. Renew your NRA membership at the show for $35 and receive a free weekend pass to show. It's the 2013 NRA Great American Hunting and Outdoor Show, 1 to 7 p.m. on Friday, January 25th, 9 to 7 on Saturday the 26th, and 9 to 5 on Sunday, January 27th at the Frederick Fairgrounds in Frederick. Visit NRAHuntingShow.org for more information. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto. Hey, we're back. The Outdoorsman Radio Show. My name is Alan Ellis. We're with Brian Eiler, who's the Deer Project Leader from the Maryland Department of Natural Resources, Wildlife, and Heritage Service. We've been talking about deer management, deer diseases, and a lot of different things. Brian, we've got a few more opportunities other than the firearm season here coming up today, starting today for 2 weeks. We take a couple days break, and then we go right into the late muzzleloader season.
Yeah, we've got a two-week late muzzleloader season, and then if you're in Region B, we have the two-day by January firearm season.
January 4th and 5th, I believe.
Yeah, I think it is 4th and 5th.
And then following that, the end of the bow season to the end of
January 31st,
yeah,
right?
Good.
So still plenty of opportunity.
Plenty of
to
opportunity.
Take some deer. So, and that late muzzleloader season can be a fun time to be out there.
It can be.
Take the smoke pole for a walk again.
There you go. Let's talk a little bit about the deer rut. Okay, you know, early November, you know, Halloween, people traditionally think that last full moon there, and October's quote the hunter's moon and kicks everything off, whether you believe in moon cycles or not, but that's kind of a good time frame, you know, October and late muzzleloader into early November is the quote peak of the rut.
Yeah, the late early muzzleloader. Yeah, the early muzzleloader season. Yeah, you'll start seeing chasing in late October.
Yeah,
and then the peak breeding. You know, conception is normally the first 2 weeks of November.
Yeah, so. And actually, you know, when that happens, then the deer kind of disappear for a while. You know, they kind of rest up or whatever, you know. Sometimes you'll see those bucks lay up with those does for a day or two at a time. And then after that peak, everybody's trying to catch their breath.
Yeah.
And then some of the does that haven't been bred come back into estrus.
Right. 28 days.
28 days.
Yep, 28
is the
days.
Cycle. So if you're figuring 1st of November, we're almost there, the firearm season, in that, quote, second rut.
Yeah, definitely not as pronounced, you know, as the first, not as wild as the first rut.
But you'll see you'll see bucks chasing does and that type of thing during firearm season, maybe even today.
Yeah.
And I've talked about this before. I've actually killed a buck, a nice 8-point up in Cecil County about the second or third year I was there on this particular property. He came through the laurel. I mean, his nose was right there on the doe, and she was in heat, and he was running her, and I killed that buck. But we've had some good times in the late muzzleloader season, too, with bucks chasing does.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's definitely a smaller percentage. But then you'll also have, you know, the fawns are born in late May, early June. You'll actually have some of the fawns come mature enough.
The early fawns.
The early fawns will mature enough, and some of those will actually come into estrus, you know,
in
that
late muzzleloader season, third rut, or whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they actually, you know, a small percentage of our fawns actually breed the first year as well. So the first 2 weeks in November is the big one, but there's definitely action after that.
Oh my, it can be incredible out there. Yeah. It sure can. Yeah. But you can't get them unless you're in the stand.
Right. Got to be out there. You got to be in the stand.
So that leads to, people liking to use the doe scent. And we have a couple sponsors here, and I don't mind using it. But now biologists are looking at these urine-based scents as far as the spread of diseases like CWD and things like that.
We're watching that closely. You know, my best advice to hunters is use it wisely, because there's evidence to suggest that, you know, these prions that cause CWD, are shed in urine. So
it's a protein type.
Mutated protein.
Okay.
So, you know, conceivably, you know, if you have some urine scent, if it has prions in it, you potentially
from a deer farm, which is where they all come from.
Yeah, and that's not real tightly regulated, as far as where this deer urine's coming from. My best advice right now, is put yourself where deer are, pay attention to the wind, and then rely on the other stuff.
Rely on natural deer movement. I like to rely on natural deer movement. If you know when the deer are moving, I mean, you know, morning and evening traditionally, but deer can move any time of the day.
Especially during the rut.
During the rut, any time. People get out of the stand at 10 o'clock and they stay out till 2 o'clock, and I've killed deer at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
I've killed deer at noon. I've killed deer at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And, you know, you can get some pretty good shooting if you stay in and watch what's going on. But
if you want that extra help,
yeah,
you know, if you want to use like a urine-based scent, you know, please, you know, take it out with you. You know, I mean, when you leave the woods, you know, have it on something that put it high enough that, you know, which,
the scent can be dispersed by the wind.
And, you know, and then whatever you put it out there on, take it back out with you somehow.
If you can.
And that'll help minimize some of these risks. But you're right. I know one of the Canadian provinces has outlawed all urine-based scents, and there's a couple of them that have.
Yeah,
yeah. There's some other states that are working on it. Well.
You know, and again, we allow baiting here in Maryland. Mm-hmm. You know, I know guys that, and I, quite frankly, my landowner has corn piles at some of our stands on the property. We've tried to put out mineral licks. We've tried to put out, you know, stuff to help the deer as far as the minerals and the growth potential and the antlers and that type of thing. But, you know, good old corn seems to be the cheapest and most...
Not so cheap anymore, but...
No, but I mean, as far as effectiveness. Yeah. And, you know, you've got that, again, you've got that deer-to-deer contact on the corn piles and things like that. But the other thing that guys with feeders, and particularly guys on sick of deer, and you know this, those feeders have a sound when they go off on that, and they're on timers. They go off at a certain time. Those deer listen for that sound because they know there's food on the ground. It's like Pavlov's dog.
And
it can actually change and alter the natural deer movement.
It can.
When guys are setting feeders to go off at 4:30 in the afternoon, waiting for a deer to come in right before dark, you know, rather than depending on the natural movement. I don't know if it makes it easier. I guess that's the deal, but
I don't, you know, if you look at like our bow hunter survey data where we ask, you know, do you use bait or not? And if you look at the kill rates, it's pretty close whether they used bait or didn't use bait.
Really?
Yeah. There's definitely areas like in some of our suburban areas where, you know, if access is limited, you know, baiting can definitely be a benefit.
And that's what happens. You got permission to hunt on a piece of property and the guy next to you is, you know, running a feeder at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and all of a sudden there's no deer on your property.
Yeah, it can, you know, they can definitely alter movements to a certain degree. It won't move deer a long way.
No, but it can move them across the property line.
But it can definitely, move them across the property line. But, you know, from a biology standpoint, you know, baiting's a bad deal, and feeding wildlife's a bad deal in general. You know, I mean, as far as, like you said, congregating wildlife.
Not necessarily looking at the regulations in Maryland, but looking at it from a biology standpoint.
Yeah, just strictly from a biology standpoint. It's not the best thing, definitely.
Well, corn has not really any nutritional value to a deer.
Well, I mean, it has nutritional value, but it can also cause some problems as well. They're ruminants.
Right.
You know, and so it can cause some issues with deer. It's not a huge percentage, but you know, baiting definitely has some benefits, but you know, we caution people.
Yeah.
You know, don't, you know.
Hey, people always say, yeah, I saw a deer out in the yard eating grass. Deer don't necessarily eat grass.
No, deer aren't grazers. They're browsers, so, you know, they'll, most of the time they're going to be eating shrubs.
Clover, hostas.
Yeah, hostas.
Azaleas.
Yeah, grass isn't big on the list.
This isn't high on the list, yeah.
Yeah, so, but. Yeah. But, yeah, so the baiting deal, you know, if you're going to bait, you know, do it moderately. Like I said, it's really popular in Maryland. We permit it.
Mm-hmm.
But except
for bears. Why is that?
A lot of states allow baiting for
bears. I know, I surely do.
And, you know, but again, it goes back to that. It's not always the best thing.
Exactly.
For, you know, but it's just something where, you know, it's always been allowed for deer.
Yeah. What do you mean? What do you mean? I ate those 350 donuts.
Yeah. We have a lot of deer. So, but you can be probably just as effective or more effective hunting without bait in most cases if you just
I personally
hunt sign.
Like I said, my landowner puts bait out and it's there. But I personally, I just like to watch a natural deer movement.
Yeah.
They're coming out certain times of the day, whether you want them to or not. And I just like to sit and watch them. And if I have to wait 8 hours for them, I have to wait 8 hours for them.
So. And then, you know, and in general, you're probably, your bigger, older bucks, you know, aren't necessarily going to show up on that bait pile during shooting hours.
No,
yeah.
They're not. They're
some
not.
Will, but as a general
and
rule,
actually, and actually, the baiting with the corn can cause those bucks to become nocturnal.
Yeah, it can. Okay.
As opposed to you know drawing them out there during the daytime, they're very suspicious.
Yeah, if you don't have a timed feeder like you're saying, I mean you can actually be causing your deer to be
causing
more nocturnal.
Your deer to be more nocturnal. Exactly.
Definitely.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Yeah. So. Yes, sir.
That's going to be one of those controversial topics. You know.
We've got this year, next year, and then we've got some opportunities to. Talk about regulations here. Every 2 years, we do the concepts and that type of thing.
Right,
So I guess you'll have to take a look at the overall deer management plan, find out what's the latest in the science when it comes to these deer diseases and deer population studies and things
we
like
keep
that,
up.
If you have the money.
Yeah, we keep up with we're a member of the Northeast Deer Technical Committee, which includes all the Northeast states and provinces, and then we're also a member of the Southeast Deer Technical Committee,
right?
Which is all the Southeast states, because Maryland kind of has a little bit in common.
Yeah,
with
we're Mid-Atlantic,
and we get together with all of my counterparts, once a year with each of them. So we all compare notes and keep track of what's going on, and it's really a good deal.
That's pretty cool
to know what's going on, in the East. So
exactly. Well, hey, Brian, look, I appreciate you being here today. We've had a good show, and of course, this is going out on the first day of deer season, so we want to give them one more reminder to please identify your target before you pull that trigger. Wear your orange. Make sure you're safe in your tree stand. It's all about having a good time out there with friends and family and, feeding your family and having fun in the woods. And accidents can certainly change that into a great time into a tragedy, and we don't want that to happen. So we just want to remind our hunters one more time to be safe. To take a clean, ethical shot, make sure that you don't take a low percentage shot and allow a wounded deer to walk off. And Brian, we appreciate you being here. I want to thank you again for coming
in.
Yeah, man, I tell you, this is kind of becoming a tradition, and I'm enjoying it a lot. So, this is Alan Ellis, and we remind you to get out and stay out and stay safe. And, Brian, any final words you'd like to give our listeners?
Be safe and have fun.
Be safe and have fun. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, we do have a couple more minutes here. So what do you see as the future for Maryland? Do you see any changes on the horizon that you can envision?
No. We kind of keep up on everything that's going on. But as far as major changes? No. I mean, I like where the program's at, and I like where the program's going. As long as we have the money to do what we need to do.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
But,
well, I mean, we have, what, 250,000 to 300,000 deer here in Maryland?
Yeah, we estimate 230,000.
230.
Yeah, 230, which is a minimum number.
Okay.
Our harvest has been stable at around 100,000.
Around 100,000.
Yeah,
and it hasn't hurt the population at all.
No.
I mean, buck plus doe equals two fawns.
Yeah.
Has capacity to double every year. And, we're seeing more and more pictures. John, our producer here, had a picture showed us here during the break of, five out in his yard in the neighborhood in Baltimore. And we're seeing.
Yeah, that's our issue. I mean, how to manage these deer in these urban and suburban areas.
Exactly.
And right now we don't have an answer for
well,
that.
Well, maybe somebody out there has a brilliant plan.
So, we just need more technology. And
more technology.
Yeah, we need more tools for the toolbox on how to manage these deer in these urban suburban areas. Where you just can't, hunting's our number one tool. It always will be our number one tool, but in some of these urban suburban areas where you just can't hunt, whether it's bow or anything else, that's where we got to come up with other ways to manage deer.
Ford, Chevy, and Dodge.
Yeah, that's it right now, unfortunately.
That is.
So,
Brian, again, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. Hey, folks. We're going to talk about fishing tackle at Tochterman's downtown Baltimore. They've got a great promotion coming up with St. Croix Rods. We'll tell you more about that next week. But right now, I'd leave it to say that there's 1,000 fishing rods on display, over 700 fishing reels at Tochterman's that you can touch and use and handle and decide on what you want. They've got the largest selection of Costa Del Mar sunglasses. They carry Yeti coolers. They have bait and lures and everything you need for any kind of offshore fishing, surf fishing. They have a complete fly fishing section, all the waders and hip boots you need. They're all fishing all the time. Late season striped bass, they've got it. Yeah, they've got the experts, too. Gene's the bass guy. Joe's the fly guy. Jim's the travel guy. McCabe's the offshore guy. They've got everything you could need, one or imagine. They'll fix your reel, they'll fix your rod, they can take care of it. Talk to them. It's 1919-1925 Eastern Avenue in Fells Point, 2.5 blocks east of Broadway. The phone number.